This is not the sound of a stream running through the mountains. It's water from a leaking pipe trickling down a stairway. That's not a frog splashing into a lake. It's a piece of sheetrock falling into a puddle on a kitchen floor. And that's not a hiker taking a deep breath of mountain air. It's a homeowner gasping at the sight of a $12,000 water damage repair bill. 40% of homeowners have experienced water damage. Protect your home with the Moen Smart Water Monitor and Shutoff. Moen.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there, Miles. You all right?
Yeah, not too bad, man. Glad to have you on the show as well. Obviously, we got to talk about a new single. We got to talk about quite a few things as well. Like, I mean, it's been. Less, I want to kind of go back a little bit as well, innit? At the same time, because you're someone who's been part of the UK music scene for a very long time now, and like a very well-respected person at that. Do you know what I mean? Like, people have gravitated towards you. Obviously, there's singles still coming out to this day, using Party Hard and the Neo and everything in there as well. So like, looking back at it now, like, how long has it been? How many years? At least about 12, 13, right?
21,
yo.
Yeah, I was like, Hello?
Yeah, I got you.
Sorry about that, my manager was calling me. You see how the scene is now?
Yeah.
The first inception of that, I was a part of. So there was like a group of us after Garage that was creating like a scene.
Yeah.
And I would say it was so powerful that Radio 1 had to create one extra because of what we were doing. And I was like the first artist to look out. You know, you got the first artist to watch.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
The first year I was the first artist to watch.
That's mad.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like, to be alive, to see this thing get birthed, and now it's a young adult, is quite surreal.
Yeah, man. Like, that's the thing. You've seen the whole, like, evolution. You've seen the rocky period. You've seen a period in time where, like, things have kind of taken a bit of a lull. Then you've seen when you're probably working like mad hard and there weren't that much money in it. And now people are just doing a whole madness with it and you can get so much money. And obviously for you, as someone who's birthed it, you're not even thinking about like how lucrative it can be. You're thinking about like, rah, like this has grown so much that it's like, yeah, like that's nuts, you know?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's because I've always been able to make money. Money's never really been a big thing for me.
Yeah,
because I always, if I need money, I'll work for it and I'll bring it in, but it's not a massive like motivator in my life.
Yeah, but has it been like a situation where because of the way you've seen things grow and evolve, how do you still keep your ideas fresh? Because you're still dropping songs that people are gravitating towards 21 years ago to now. Yeah,
I was born with a specific relationship to sound. I think to go deep, yeah, I think my biology, you know, like everyone has like different things they just gravitate to.
Yeah.
Sound was mine, but it was I don't know what it was put in my brain, but as soon as I heard hip hop for the first time, I was obsessed.
What was that first record?
And pardon?
What was the first record?
It was like a Kool Moe Dee or KRS-One record, one of the two.
So we're talking early 90s, late 80s at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think another reason why I've been able to do so many different scenes is I don't have musical prejudice, meaning, you know, there's certain people, yeah, they only stick in one era.
Yeah.
After that era is done, they don't like new music.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been like that. I don't expect, like I'm making I'm a Piano because it's similar to Funk House, but I don't think I'm a Piano is Funk House.
You can definitely hear more, obviously, like, with Funky House, it had a very distinct sound, and I grew up listening to that, so I don't even know how to like coin that phrase. But like, Ampiano is, you can hear the more African fusion in there instantly.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, yeah.
But the culture is completely different. The culture now is completely different, anyway.
Yeah.
But now it's very like I don't compare. I don't listen to Ampiano and go, this ain't as good as Funky, or it's not the same. I just listen to it and go, oh, I like this, I want to make it.
You know what it is, and bro? Go on.
I said that's what's helped me out a lot. The fact that I don't judge time and eras. Like, when I turn 60, I'll love the new sound then.
Mm-hmm. And listen, you'll still be dropping bangers at that stage as well. So it's bad, like, because like you said, I think a lot of people, like your regular listener, when they listen to music as well, and let's take Funky House, like, probably the heyday of that was 2008. So people are like thinking, oh yeah, when we used to bust skank, when we used to go rave, like, some of the younger people will be like Bigger Fish, other stuff like that. Like, they're going to gravitate towards it because it was a sign of a time for them. But then people grow and develop, and sometimes people don't like change. And I think that's, like you said, because you're very fluid with that type of stuff, it's very easy for you to kind of look at the next scene or create a whole wave on yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about the tune anyway. Let's talk about like Rolly right now. Obviously, it's DJ Mellow Bones on this one as well, right?
Yeah.
So like, he's South African, right?
Yeah.
So like, obviously, you've worked with a lot of people for a long period of time. So like, what made you gravitate towards him for this record? Or was it someone who you've always wanted to work with?
Well, Super D had released some of his music on his House Super label.
Yeah.
And liked it. And then my friend Azzy was working with him. So I just messaged him and was like, look, I like your music. Do you want to collab? He sent me a folder and there was one record, which was the Rolly beat. And I was like, I'm gonna jump on this. And he was like, cool. And then when it came time to releasing it, I kind of felt like this is a South African sound and culture. And if I'm gonna have any foot in this, I have to support them. I have to try my best to add to their culture.
Yeah.
If that means, you know, introducing Mellowbone to this country or going to what are their names? I think it's Mastermind DJs. Going to their like house party, and just being in the videos and stuff, and just giving trying to just do my bit to add what's going on, and that's why I felt it was important to say, like, featuring DJ Mellowbone.
Yeah, I think it's
important. He's a young man from South Africa, do you know what I mean, trying to find his foot in the door, so hopefully I can help.
Yeah, man. I mean, the thing is, it's a situation where, like you said, when you're going into different environments, which, like, people in South Africa in general, I'm sure quite a few know you anyway because your music has gone across the world. But, like, for some of the younger ones who might be locked in, like, you showing that, like, yo, look, I'm giving back and stuff like that, there's not going to be people that are going to come through and try to say, oh, look at this imposter and stuff like that. Because, you know, sometimes you get people that, like, they're quick. The comment sections
are no, but there's stuff, always gonna no, but no, there are gonna be people that say, look at this imposter. But like, I ain't got time to think about those people. They can say what they want to say. I can't control what people think and say. I can only control my actions, because they might think I'm an imposter, but my actions are making these people go, you fuck with Daneo differently. But if I listen to what they say, and I'm like, you know what, fuck this. These people over here, they'll love me, but they won't love me.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you can't just completely dismiss the fact that you're going to get negative energy. Then you won't know how to deal with it if you completely dismiss it.
Because
again, as well, sometimes as well, because I've had some negative energy from over the pond. But okay. I also understand they might feel like I'm stepping on their toes because I'm Danao and I've got this opportunity because I'm in London and
mm-hmm.
and like some of the concern I can alleviate it. And I can understand, like, this is you lot's thing. This is your way to get out of the hood. I don't want to be in the way of that. I want to help with that. So again, like, you shouldn't dismiss negative energy because it may not be coming from a place of malice. It might be coming from a place of fear. Well, you don't know that you're throwing your weight around. You don't. Sometimes you might be a good person, but you're a powerful person. And you don't realize you're throwing your weight around.
Yeah.
Because you're just trying to be helpful, but you haven't asked everyone what they want and stuff like that.
True.
So again, it's like you can't dismiss the negative comments. You have to dig deep into some of them, and some of them could probably be fixed.
I hear that. You know, shall I tell you why? I agree with what you're saying anyway. The best example I can give is when, I don't know if you saw it a couple of years ago, like Samuel Jackson was getting mad on English actors going to America and doing bits.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing, I get it, but I just feel like you said,
because again, with that situation, black people around the world, we all think we're connected because of our skin color and the fact that we all have to deal with racism. And we are all connected. But what we fail to understand is that the African black experience is different to the West Indian black experience.
Yeah.
Which is different to the American black experience, which is different to the European black experience.
Mm.
We all go through racism, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
Like the level of discrimination like Americans have to get, and then some British guy just walks through, the police don't harass you as soon as you open your mouth. You get what I'm saying? Like I feel shook from the police of America, but I also like I know to talk straight away because I was told by my African friends in America, just open your mouth. Once they see that you're British, they don't want problems with the British embassy. But our brothers and sisters in America don't have that protection.
Yeah.
So the pain that they is, or even when black women are upset about something, sometimes, yeah, one, as men, black men, we should take the licks. And sometimes just shut up and listen, because that pain, it comes from somewhere.
Yeah.
To just dismiss it. Nah, sometimes whether they're right or wrong, the pain is coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't publicly shit on black women.
No,
I hate it when I see all that. Because in my head, I'm like, are you not you're a black man. This woman might not be all the way right, but her pain is valid.
Yeah.
Because she's gone through certain experiences and da 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 da. And that, again, you can't negate, you can't dismiss negative energy.
But like the thing is, I'm just gonna say this in general right now. I'm playing devil's advocate as well. If you're still hearing the same narratives over a long period of time, say 30, 40 years, right? Say 20, 30. Like, how do we help get the other side to understand and say, look, I will understand your pain, but there's also other alternatives as well? Because that's a thing that happens all the time, isn't it?
Well, if you do what you first said, I understand your pain, and then say, but can you explain it to me?
Yeah.
Those little words will open up a book, and then actually listen. And rather than, yeah, but this, if they say something, find a way to probe deeper into what they're saying so that they feel listened to. Anyone who feels like they're seen or listened to will soften. Anyone.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. I agree with you when you're talking to people in person. This is the problem, though. We don't live in a personable age all the time, especially the last year as well. Social media, everyone wants to be right in it. Everyone wants to be that person saying the point, and then everyone jumps on the bandwagon. So it makes it longer to kind of get an understanding and actually sit people in the room and, you know, have that understanding in the first place.
Well, you need to kind of like sieve through what people are saying, and there's probably going to be a small handful of people that are willing to have a mature conversation with you. So they might be fighting the fight, but they're not going to dismiss your confusion.
Yeah.
So sometimes with social media, it's like everyone likes to jump on what's happening now. Mm-hmm. How about let it happen for a few days? Scope out the thing. There's going to be some people that might be like, oh, you're a pig because da-da. But then there might be other people that'll be like, I wish you understood where we was coming from, because then you can see that that person's not trying to attack you. Mm. They just feel hurt by your reaction to something. Yeah. And that person, probably the person you should tweet back and be like, well, can you explain it to me then?
Mm-hmm.
And can we have this conversation privately so we can talk? I don't want to talk. And then if they're there, you build a relationship with that person, you get an understanding.
Yeah.
You might even get a wife out of it.
Man.
But, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But the thing is, that is, again, in this day and age, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of things.
What's wrong with a lot of work? But how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 28. I'm 28. I'm playing devil's advocate as I do this.
It's very sad to me, that it's a lot of work. It's stopping us from healing each other. That's quite heartbreaking to hear.
Mm.
Because it's like, I only know to work hard.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, are you going to use that same excuse for your children when they piss you off when they're 2 years old and they don't know that they're pissing you off?
Listen, look.
Is it too much work to just have the patience for that?
Listen, I'm a different type of person anyway, innit? I'm a person, I don't really do this. I should, right? But I don't do the socials too much myself, innit? I find that stuff jarring because I feel like sometimes that thing plays, and no one is saying anything, but everyone's trying to say something, right? I am a person that likes to talk to people directly. I don't really do the whole social media thing. So I work on making sure we build that relationship. I might not do that through Twitter. I might do that through if I bump into somebody and we have a greater conversation, their friend might bowl in. That gap last year when we were allowed out. So I say like August time, right? I was talking to a girl from South Africa. And someone asked her, oh, where are you from? She said South Africa. She said Portugal. And the guy said, oh, are you Angolan? So went for that, you know, like colonialist kind of way, innit? And she got mad annoyed. Then she started breaking stuff down and it became like a whole argument thing going on. I was sitting there thinking, I'm going to say something. And I spoke to her about it. I got her calm, but we had an understanding. But if that was on Twitter, that's not going to run. I just feel like that connection on Twitter is not going to happen first because...
Yeah, but some people like say, you're like me when it comes to social media.
Mm.
That's not our thing, innit? Our thing is like face-to-face convo. It needs the people who actually know how to communicate on social media to take up that fight. Like, your fight isn't supposed to be on social media. It's supposed to be face-to-face.
Yeah, and
that's your lane, and that's what you've got to stick to.
Mm-hmm.
Other people's lanes may not be able to do face-to-face, but the way they convey a message on social media, everyone gets it.
Not saying
that Sideman, because I think Sideman's good with both,
mm-hmm.
but Sideman has an excellent way of articulating himself in a way that everyone can understand what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
He's a man that if there was to be this type of conversation and people ask me to do it, I'd say no, but I'll co-sign him doing it because he knows how to convey a message on this platform that I don't know how to do.
Mm. But then at the same time though, I hear that, but why would you want to be part of that conversation and then Sideman would roll as a medium through? Because you still need that opinion, someone who can like, clarify it up, and then you can have the other side and they can do the same thing.
I don't understand the question.
So like, for example, you're saying that you co-sign Sideman to do that and, you know, be the spokesperson for it. But why would you not want to be that person that's also there on the side?
Yeah. I can be there on the side.
Yeah.
But I also know, bruv, words are powerful. It's like, you can have a conversation with someone, a long conversation. Say you met someone for the first time.
Yeah.
You guys talk for half an hour. After a while, you start understanding, you start building more patience for that person. So you might say something that they misconstrued, but they're comfortable enough to be like, what do you mean by that?
Then
you explain, oh, you got time to explain yourself, innit?
Mm-hmm.
On social media, you kind of don't have that time. So
comfort,
the reason I would say I would prefer Sideman too is because if someone asked him a question, he's got the skills to convey what he means better than I do. Because I'm Deneo, innit? I could say something and have all of these people misconstrued what I say, having all of these chauvinistic brothers like, see, Deneo's right. And I was like, I wasn't right. I just explained it wrong. And now you motherfuckers are jumping on that. And then I can't even apologize now. I'm like, I didn't mean it like that. Like, it's already caused the damage. Rather than just humbling myself and be like, I'll co-sign it, but I don't have the skills you need for this to go where it needs to go to. But he does.
See, this is the thing, though. I'd rather, again, I think Sideman for Twitter purposes, perfect, isn't it? If we're using that example. I just feel like these conversations need to be had more away from that in the first place. I know everyone lives on it.
Yes.
It is what it is. But we need to do this. If you look at this, we were supposed to talk about music for the most part. We've kind of went on a whole bad tangent. You know what I'm saying? But it makes sense. Do you know what I mean? And that's what I think we need to do more. Like, people need to have these conversations and get understanding, because you're going from generations to generations anyway. And even me, like, 28, there's people who are 15 who think differently again. Do you know what I mean? That's a whole other generation. And then there's people who are in their 30s and 40s who think different because they grew up on a different time. And then it also comes down to, like, you know, for people, especially in the UK, people moving over, their parents might be, like, you know, first generation or something like that. So they've brought their ways from whatever country they're from here. Hence a culture coming through. And eventually, as you live here long enough, you're like, yeah, that don't really, that thing don't really run. Like, I'm part African, innit? And it's like, certain things that you, man, do, that works in your selective space, but I don't run across the board.
It don't run here,
Yeah.
I was in a barbershop the other day, and there was a massive argument because of that.
Yeah.
There was one guy who came fresh. He was probably here for like 2 weeks.
Mad.
Some of his opinions was offending everyone. They were like, bruv,
where?
You're in England now. You're going to have to, if you're going to survive out here, some of the things that piss you off about certain things, you're going to have to learn to see it in a different way.
Yeah. But let's talk about music a bit more as well. So last album we had from you, like full blown album, was it 16 in 2017?
Yeah.
Yeah. 16. So that was what, 4 years ago now? Obviously that had, Black wasn't on the album, but that was like one of the tracks that kind of led us up to it, right?
Yeah.
That should have been on the album, you know. That was a big track.
No, it should have been,
Yeah. I'm assuming
the label wanted to hold off because they thought 16 was a mixtape. And I was just like, should just put Black on there. But it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is now. It's just 4 years ago. So what are we, I know you got a show in a couple of weeks as well. It's in November, right? Yeah, 24th. And what are we building up to? Are we getting something like before that, something after it? What are we doing for that show, and what are we doing for the rest of the year as well?
That show is more about me bringing my audience in one place.
Okay.
And then next year, my whole bag is about introducing new artists.
Okay.
To the culture.
Yeah.
Artists that I think I rate and I think should be heard. But for whatever reasons, they're not getting heard. So I'm going to use my platform to push them.
Yeah, important. I think, like, obviously you've done stuff in the past. Obviously, I know like a couple of years ago you did that song, was it The Link Up? I played that in a club a couple of weeks ago. That's a big song. Yeah. It didn't get enough love though, I can't lie. It didn't get enough love. We might need a little Deneo 2021-22 remix. You know what I'm saying? Or get some vocalists on it. Because stuff like that works. I mean, obviously you dropped that song, was it Bando with Don E? And he was kind of bubbling. He had that song, You Good, Jay, or something like that. You're right, yeah, something like that. I had the time. So, like, who are some of the new artists that you're kind of looking at and being like, yo, like, you guys need to blow? There's a guy he's actually at your show. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. He got a song with China Knox. Six out. Knox, that's it.
Yeah, Knox.
Yeah, yeah.
He's good. Tiz East is good.
Yeah.
Ikeno's good. I'm working with a girl called Lily Casely. China Six is tremendous as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that'll be a good show. I mean, that's gonna be a good show. I'm gonna try and see if I can slide through as well. I wanna
come,
see
man.
It. Yeah, I wanna see it live in effect, man. Obviously, the last time I saw you in person was like, it might have been in 2015, you know. It was time ago. Well, I might see you at Wireless one time, like briefly. But I mean, I wanna ask this question because I've been thinking about it just from looking at music in general and stuff as well. Is Pink Pantherous, you know who she is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously she brought back this like wave of garage music. It's like a new age garage. Pop Smoke last year, obviously RIP, he did like the gangster rap return, right? Because it hadn't been around for a while. Do you think in the next 5-10 years, Funky will get a comeback? like a big
comeback now.
Is it?
Comeback now.
It has it though. Yeah, like
yeah, because of I'm a Piano.
Yeah.
That is what's gonna happen is I'm a Piano has a massive culture in South Africa.
Yeah,
it's come over here. The producers are gonna take the sound, but they're in a different environment, so the sound's gonna morph into something else.
Okay,
and then that sound will be the new version of Funky House.
Okay, mad. So you think it's gonna be more fused with Afrobeats this time?
Yeah,
even more so. I mean, is that going to make it stand out enough to be considered the return of Funky House, though? Or are we just not calling it that?
I don't think we should see it as a return of Funky House. It's just, it should be seen for what, like, Funky House made sense to us.
Yeah.
When we were young, this new scene I'm talking about needs to make sense to us now.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be seen as that. We can see them as cousins, but it should be treated differently.
Yeah. No, I hear it. Because you know what it is? The reason why I'm asking that is because we know in the music scene in general across here, people love to put things in boxes. And eventually they're going to run out of things to say, because when it comes to I'm a Piano, it's going to be like, okay, cool. We're going to have to do some education on that in the first place. Do you know what I mean? But then obviously if you're coming through and you're dropping stuff and you're getting people to know already, you can bring that, you can be the guy that brings that through as well. So that's important. Do you know what I mean? Like we said 5 minutes ago, it's understanding with things, man. It's literally just making sure that, you know, people know where something's come from, why it's come, and how we can develop it. But apart from obviously you bringing people through and like new artists and stuff, who else have you been working with over the last like couple years now? Really,
just those people I mentioned,
just and them, a couple of
musicians. Yeah, and a few musicians.
Mad. I mean, listen, I'm looking forward to seeing the development. You know what I mean? I'm looking forward to seeing what happened in the next couple of years. With you as well, with this new album that will come out next year. Obviously, the show is going to be amazing. I already know that. I can say that for certain. You know what I'm saying? So, what do you want to say to people out there listening to this right now? Just like looking forward to
come to my concert.
Come to your concert.
Just come to my concert. That's going to be the start of everything.
Yeah. Boy, I'm looking forward to seeing other stuff on the way. But, bro, appreciate you chatting to me today, man.
No, I'm good, man.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.